Very well-known Rashi, citing the Torah's Kohanim, the Sifra, the outset of this week's Parsha, Parshas Bechokosai, Zonk the Heiliger Torah, Bechokosai, Teilecho, Ves, Mitzvasai, Tishma, Vasisam, Osam, Zonk Rashi, Yalam, Akom, Yochoze, Kiyama, Mitzvah. You might think we're referring to Kiyama, Mitzvah. It can't be, because as the Pasuk goes on to conclude, Kishu, Omer, Vasisam, Osam, Ari, Kiyama, Mitzvah, Omer, that's the Asiyas, the actual performance of the Mitzvahs. Bringing them l'day ma'isa, so that can't be what the opening words are referring to. Hamani mekayim imachu kosai teilechush tiyua meilam atorah. It must be that. Well, I have no choice. What's left? Well, imachu kosai teilechush must be meilam atorah. Well, l'chayra, there might be other things that could be deduced. Ela what? It has to be a limud l'chayra that Chazal inferred, that Chazal deduced because of the unique terminology. It's not an inyan of Shemira, that's mitzvah tishma. It's not an inyan of Asiya, performance of mitzvahs. It must be something that's nogea, that's germane to Liman HaTaira. How do we know that? Why is that the only thing left? It must be. We see that in Teilechu. It must be something in the interesting terminology of not keeping, not performing Machukim, or rather, but walking in them. And what's the Bir HaDavar? So before we get to the Maral here in Gor Aryeh, there's been a lot of Darush said about this opening Pasuk, this opening Chazal. And the Sefer Zikaron Hashem and Shkop and Ramosha Mordechai Epstein echoed the same idea. And that is that Teilechu is an inyan of being a holech. You're always on the move, you're always on the go. What's that? Based on the Pasuk in Zechariah, Paragimel Pasuk Zayim, Asati Lecha Mahalchem Eina Umdem Ma'ele. The tachlis in life is to always be holech, is always to be on the move, always to be on the go. That's a tzaddik. They're always holchem, as opposed, in contradistinction to the malachi elyon, God's celestial court. They're not holchem, they're merely omdim. They're omeid, they're nitzav, they're not going anywhere. As we've explained, that Isha Zalot, who didn't want to go to Avram Avinu, who was defined as a lech lecha, as a holech, she wanted to go back to Sodom. What was her punishment? She turns into a nitziv melach, dafka nitziv. She was omedah, she's omedah li'olam. She is an idle, motionless pillar, because she wasn't interested in growing and steiging, and thus not just a pillar, as opposed to a salt shaker, as opposed to something that moves. In Indian of Tanua, she's not a salt shaker. She's going to be what? She's going to be an idle, motionless pillar that's just going to stay put forever, and it's going to be salt. Why salt? Why not sugar? Why not pepper, anything? Why dafka salt? Salt, of course, is a preservative. You put things in salt to maintain status quo, to keep them exactly as is. Salt, of course, NaCl, sodium chloride, has more uses, over 14,000 uses, according to the Handy Science Answer Book, than any other element on the atomic chart. That is the thing that's all over the world. But what is its primary use? Its number one use is to preserve things, to keep them the way they are. You go into the Dead Sea, it's going to do what? It's going to preserve you. It's going to preserve life in a place where a person would go in, where a person can't live. It comes to keep you afloat. It comes to go and preserve life. That's the idea of melach. Not coincidentally, of course, in the Hirschian world of phonetic cognates, melach sounds a lot like a malach. A malach is what? Immovable, idle, motionless. It doesn't go anywhere. V'ragleim regel yeshar rabachas daf yudam. And based on the pasuk in Yecheskel, Parakala pasuk Zayin, we stand in Shemon Esrei like an idle, motionless pillar. That's why it's called the Amida service. We stand idle. We stand motionless. We're not moving anywhere. We're not going anywhere. And the idea is, of course, to model ourselves after the Malachi Elyon for Aglayim Regal Yeshara. They have one idle, motionless leg. They're not going anywhere. Why? Because they're not Hochim. They're Omdim and they're Nitzavim. Shemon Esrei, we want to highlight that there does come a time throughout the day when we have to subjugate everything to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to make ourselves angel-like in the sense, the total expression of our Bechira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's an idea expressed by the Sefer Seder Hayom, by the Maral Nesiva Solom and Nesiv Avoda, and by the Rav Schwab on prayer, page 411, quoting Rav Shamshon full of Hirsch. The idea is, in Shemon Esrei, your feet are together, your hands are together, you're an Omeid, you're an Nitzav, you're staying put, you're not going anywhere. There are times when you have to be an Omeid, but otherwise, we're supposed to be holich, we're supposed to be on the move, we're supposed to be on the go. And that's why Rav Huner explains in Sefer in the Pachad Yitzchak, Igrus Uksavim, Rav Huner writes that why do Chazal It's based on a Rashi and Ksuvas Gemara, an Erevin, Bra Karadavua. The son is the leg, literally the knee, but the knee, the extension of the father. Asks Rav Hunder, out of all metaphors that we could have invoked, why do we say the son? Why do we say he's the eyes, he's the ears, he's the nose of his father? Why not say he's the hands of his father? Why is it the choice terminology of Chazal, specifically that a child is the kara, is the leg of the father? There are other manifestations of an extension. Explains Rav Hunder, since we know that during life we have to be holy. We have to be on the move, we have to be on the go. When a person dies, he's no longer holy, he's not moving anywhere. And thus, the Gemara at the end of Bracha, Samachtalan Amar Aleph, we say to a chai, to a living person, Lech Lishalom, as the Gra, as the Maral explained, Lech Lishalom, you're always going towards peace, you're always growing, you're always steiging, you're always going towards Shlemus. That's Lech Lishalom. I want you to go a continuous ascent on the road to Shlemus. Now, Shankin, a dead person, he can't reach Shlemus anymore, you can't learn Torah, you can't do mitzvahs anymore after you die, so it's merely Lech Bishalom, go in a state of peace. You already now are Bishalom, you're already in a state of peace. In fact, parenthetically, that was one of the whole problems with Avshalom. Avshalom says, I don't need David HaMelech, I don't need to be Machniah myself in front of Shlomo. I'm what? Avshalom is Osios, I need Bishalom, I'm ready Bishalom. I don't have to grow, I don't have to steig, I don't have to keep going. It's a coincidence that he gets hung specifically by a tree that's always growing, that's continuous growth. Any coincidence that Eish Eslo to turn into an Etziv Melach Salt, which is the maintenance of status quo, preserving things as is, which is an idle motionless pillar, writes the Pirkei Lozer and Perchof Hei, every night the Shvarim, the oxen, come out of the forest and lick up the salt on Eish Eslo, and every night miraculously replenishes itself. Why? Why is that a chelek of her tikkun? Elowal l'charetz poshet, because the whole idea underlying the fact that she was in a Tziv Melech was she didn't want to grow. I don't want to go to Avram Avinu, who is a Lech Lecha. The first Nisayin appearing overtly on the page of the Torah is what is Lech Lecha. That means, first and foremost, the way I define Avram Avinu is, he's a Holech, as opposed to Noach. Noach is Losha Menucha. Writes the Alter Navardik and Madregas Adam, those who are Dorish the Ganai say, Noach was Losha Menucha. I don't need a Steig, I don't need to grow. I just have to abstain from modeling my behavior after that of the wicked people surrounding me. But that's Noach Lo Shemenucha. The first contrast of Avram to Noach is based on the first Nisayim, the one that the Rambam in his Peirushal Mishnah, Perkei Elvis and Perkei Mishnah Gimel, writes is the first Nisayim, and the one that the Kulei Alma, according to everybody, is the first one that appears openly on the pages of the Chumash, is Lech Lecha. That means Avram Inu is a Holech. Eishes Lot, you don't want to join forces with Avram, you don't want to be Holech, you want to go back to Sodom. Sodom turns into salt, you can never grow anything in Sodom henceforth. You can't grow because they weren't interested in growth. Thus, the whole thing becomes salt. You can never plant, nothing can emerge that's going to grow, that's going to burgeon, that's going to sprout. What's going to be the tikkun of Esau's Lot? The oxen are going to come out of the woods, they're going to lick up the salt, and miraculously it's going to replenish itself. What's that? A constant replenishment, a constant rebirth, a constant regrowth. That's the tikkun for a woman that wasn't interested at all in growing. And that's the idea of always being a holech. And thus, the Gra writes in his Be'er HaMishlei, Perek Tesvav HaPasach HaVdalin, that if you're not going up, you're always going down. Many of the Bali Musar discuss this idea as well, Rav Dessel, the Atamikel, and because of the ubiquitous presence of the Yetzer Hara, if you're not going up the ladder of spirituality, then willy-nilly, you're always going down. That's it. There's a force of the Yitzhara. He's always pushing you down. You have to actively be fighting against him. That's the idea of continuous ascent. You always have to be a holech. You can't be an itzav. But what happens when a person dies? So Avshalom is, Ani b'shalom, I already got to my shleimus. You already got to shleimus? He's going to get hung by a tree. That which is always growing, he doesn't need Shlomo. He doesn't need to work in tandem with him. He doesn't have to subjugate himself to David HaMelech, who's always growing. He's always becoming greater and greater. So that's Avshalom Ani b'shalom. But Lamaisa, how can a dead person continue to grow after he dies? Through his children. Through his children, through those that whom he was makarev, akola malamid is ben chavrei Torah kilo yoldo, through his biological children, through his figurative children, he's always growing. Thus, writes Rav Hunder, that's the idea of brok haradavua. Why is the son the leg? Because even when a father, what's the difference between being alive and being dead, whether you're a lech l'shalom or lech bishalom? Even after a person passes away from this world and he's not l'shalom anymore, he's now bishalom, no growth, that's it, he's bishalom, he already got to shlemus, he's out to the next world, but the fact that he left over children, whether they're biological, whether they're adopted children, whether they're the children that whom he taught Torah to, and it's Ke'ilu Yoldo, but through them, Brakara, they're the extension, they're specifically the leg, even when he is no longer a Holech, they maintain that status of being a Holech. The whole idea is to always be Holech, to always be going Mechayel Achayel, even when he went from a Holech to a Nitzav, to an Omeid, he left over those children will continue that process of a Halicha, they're always going to be going up. But explained Rav Shimon Shkop, and the Sefer Zikaron explains, Moshe Mordechai Epstein from Slobodka, the only way that you can rest assured that you're always going to be going and growing is Dafka Ayyadeh Amelis B'Torah. So if the whole lineage is Halicha, and Halicha means I'm not an Omeid, but rather I'm always going and I'm always growing, if I'm always growing and going places, then there's only one ticket, there's only one way to get there. How can I get there? Through Amelis B'Torah. Only if someone is Me'ageya and is Amol and Torah Kedaboi, then you know that you're always going to be on the move and always going to be on the go. And that's the Ikar Tachlis Achayim. That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Tzadi Tess, Amad Beis, Odom La'omo Yula, the Pasuk in Eov. The Gemara says, is it La'omo Peh or Li'omo Malacha? The Gemara proves that it's a reference to Amol HaPeh, using the mouth. The Gemara says, but still, even at this stage, I don't know, does that mean using the Peh for Dvar Matelim, for Sicha Matelah, or using it for Devei Torah? The Maskona, the most is, we have Kamarayas, that it's Odom La'omo Yula for Limud HaTorah. So famous Ochaim Salvechik, Ochaim Briska said, why do we stand up every time a pregnant woman walks by? The Gemara says, Anita Daf Lamed Amad Beis, the Uber B'moy Imo, the fetus in the womb of its mother is learning Kata Arkula. And if it's learning Kata Arkula and it's got the best Chavrus in the world, the Malach, it's got the best Rebbe in the world, it doesn't have to work for a living, it's Mamash and Kolel, like the best Kolel in the world, right? He doesn't even need a Shver to support him. He's got everything at his fingertips. He's got all the food, all the nutrients that he wants. He's living in a waterbed, right? He's Mamash in a waterbed. He's got everything. He's reclining in a waterbed. He's surrounded in a nice jacuzzi, a nice warm jacuzzi, a warm environment. He's got the umbilical cord. He's getting all his nourishment. Anytime he wants it, he gets to sleep whenever he wants, gets to move around, gets to hit its parent, gets to do whatever it wants. It's Mamash, this is utopia. It gets everything. The mother's taking a kid, they're speaking to it, and there's even a D in this farm talking about at what stage can the fetus actually hear the sounds, hear the Devei Torah that's going on outside. A Diak from Yushalmi and Yavamas. Akoponim, the child is in a utopian state. This is an ideal state, and it's learning Kaltar Kula. So if the child knows Kaltar Kula, then why is it we don't stand up when the pregnant woman walks by? Famous of Chai, because even though the child was given the gift, that's precisely a gift. That's what it was. It was given gratis. There was no Amelis, there was no Yegia. The child didn't work for it, and we don't stand up for someone who didn't have to work for it. Same way, you respect a person who worked to earn his $1 million as opposed to the person who just got it gratis. The famous story of the child, and he's taking a walk with his dad, and he says, Daniel, how'd you become such a wealthy businessman? He says, son, you can't even imagine what it was like in the 1920s, 1929, the Great Depression. I found an apple in the street. I had nothing to eat. I had no money whatsoever. I found an apple, and I polished this apple, and I cleaned it. I washed it off, and I sold this apple for a nickel. And then I got the nickel, and I bought two apples, and I cleaned them, and I polished them sparkling, radiant, and then I sold each one for a dime. And then I went, and I did this, and I bought four apples. Then I bought a whole bunch of other apples. And then my great uncle died, and he left me $1 million. Now, what's the appreciation when you work for something? Brochas tav chesam and alav gelda hanenim migias kapo yosim yoshamayim. When you work for something, we're not going to honor that there's a child. He got it as a gift. He's got the idealistic, utopian-like conditions. That's not what we're going to revere. We're only going to revere someone who worked for it, who was Miyageya, who was Omel, but Ad Rav Chaim Brisker. That's why it's Odom La'omo Yulad. If the kid already has everything, if he's got the best Chavrusa, and he's got the best Rebbe, and he's got Kol Tzor Kula, what else is there in life? What is he missing? The only ingredient that he's missing is the Amelis, is the Giyah and Torah. That's why the Pasuk in Eiv says specifically, Odom La'omo Yulad. Why was he born? Only for Amelis, because that's the only thing that he was really missing. After all, the Sefer Makarim and Hagim and Simon Chav says that right before Shas Leida, God unites the two halves of the Neshama. See, he's there with his Bashert. There's a part of his Neshama that's there, united with his Bashert. See, he's got everything. He's got his Bashert. He's got the food. He's got the Gashmis. He's got the Torah. What else does he need? He's got everything in life. The only thing he's missing is Amelis. Mela Adam La'omo Yulad. That's the only reason why he came out into this world, precisely for the Amelis and Torah. So that's all he's missing. That's the only way to make sure that you can always be growing and going. It's Dafka Yadei, the Amelis B'Torah. Answer of El Yolopian, and it's based on a Moshe by the Alter Mikhail. He also was troubled. How do you know Meilas Patorah from the Lashon of Halicha? Ella must be what? He says, B'derech Moshe B'Shem Ni'alti Mikelmas Rebbe. If you walk into a room, you walk into a festive banquet, and you see these wealthy individuals, and they're donned, with they're dressed up with the fanciest clothing in the world, and they got beautiful jewelry on, and the food is the best, five-star chef, everything is the top of the line. And you're really impressed, and you sit down to the banquet, and you think, wow, this is Mamish Utopia. These men are all, they all look strong, hale, and healthy, and they got the best food, and the best clothing, and the best jewelry, they got it made. And then what happens, the meal is over, and this one reaches for his walking stick, and this one, unfortunately, is an amputee, and has to be placed into a wheelchair, and this one is limp. When do you get to see whether they're truly hale or healthy? Only when they get up to walk. When you get up to walk, that's when you see who's truly healthy. When you're sitting down, mechitesi. Same way Rav Elie Lopian says. And you look back in the world and you remember those people you went to yeshiva with. You know what? Sometimes when you're in yeshiva, yeah, it's easy to be frum, to be an Erlich Hayid. You're in yeshiva, you're surrounded by the Dalit Kosei HaYeshiva. When you're surrounded by the walls of Kedusha, and what do you know? You're learning Torah, and you got the Rebbeim, and you got Rosh Yeshivas, and everything is great. And this is your own little quasi-utopia. It's a beautiful oasis in the middle of the world. You lock yourself up in the Dalit Kosei Beis HaMedrash, and everything is great. But what happens when you have to leave, when you go out to work, when you go out to the workplace, when you go out, as a Tagion of someone who's ill says, Ubalachtacha b'derech, he writes in Meschanan, what's Ubalachtacha b'derech? When you go out to get married, when you go out to work in the workforce, how do you know that you're going to stay Erlich, that you're going to be an honest Erlich Hayid? Only if what? Only when you were in yeshiva, you were Mekayim, Amelis Batora, Yegiya Batora. If when you were in yeshiva, you were Omel, and you were Miyageya, and it became Mamish a part of you, then if it became a part of you, then you can rest assured that even when you leave the Beis Medrash, you know you're always going to be Steiging. That's this week's Parsha. Imuchu Kosai Teilechu. How do you know you're going to keep my chukim? There's only one way that you're going to be walking in my chukim. Even when you leave the Beis Medrash, how do I know you're going to still going to walk and you're still going to be healthy with my chukim, and you're going to be able to keep everything even when you leave the Dalit Kosei Beis Medrash and you're going on the road to get married and to work? The only way is to Amelim HaTorah. Must be Derech Amelis. So writes the Maral, two other Hesberim. Amaral is also bothered by this drosh of Chazal. How do we know Amelis HaTorah from the Lashon of Teilechu? Writes the Maral and Gorari as follows. Amash Amar Shatiyu Amelim HaTorah, Hainu Mipnei Shekosuf Halimud B'Lashon Halicha, Ke Halicha Yish Bo Torach V'Omel. And he cites many different psukim. We know that somebody goes traveling, when you're on the road, the same way that Golos is Mechaperes Ava. Person goes traveling, what does it do? It wears you down. And it wears you down. Traveling makes you tired. It's Mateshes Kocha Shal Adam. As the Torah wears you down. Since when you go on the road, you get worn down when you're traveling, when you're walking, you're not relaxing at home comfortably with the air conditioning and everything that you need. When you're going on the road, stop traveling typically involves Torah and Omel. That's how we knew it. If you're going to walk, well, if you're walking, that means that there's tircha, that there's amelus, the semi Avram Vinu lech lecha. And Rashi says usually the derech is memait. What? It's memait the galus and your shame, and it's memait the kochas aguf. It makes you weaker when you have to travel, when you're going in galus. So since anytime you go on a journey, and involves the tircha and the amelus, which is why Rishonim already say one of the reasons why Hashem put us through the desert for Matan Torah is He had to break us down. You had to break yourselves down through the amelus and the yigia of journeying. Maral speaks out the city of journeying in a desert. That amelus, that yigia, is going to break you down. It's going to weaken you so that you'll be machni yourself and humble yourself before the Torah. That's the same way that the Maral writes in his Drush al Torah, the famous question, how do we understand Kedushin Chavtesim Adveis, that women have a threefold exemption, they're not mechuyavas to learn Torah Shebaal Peh. They don't have to be taught Torah Shebaal Peh, they don't have to learn it themselves, and they're not obligated to teach it to the next generation. Why? Now, the Gemara says, Torah of the Matamosis, B'nechem, B'nechem, Lo B'nosechem, threefold exemption, Raman Paskins, and Achas Tamatorah, and Aleph Yud Gimel, the Torah and Shulchan Aruch, and Yehudei, and Reish Membeis. So women are paturis, and the Rishonim explain from Torah Shebaal Peh. What's the difference? Explains the Maral. Avada, certainly they have to learn Torah. Women have to learn Torah. Just like they have to know Torah Shemasav, they have to know halachas, they have to know Shabbos, and Dinam, and Nida, Taras, and Shvachal, and Lashon Hara, and so many halachas they have to know. They have to know tons of halachas and all the lo sases. They have to know all the negative commandments and all the myriad laws associated with the vast array of negative commandments. They have to know so much Torah. Ella, what? So, Torah Shebaal Peh. What's the idea of Torah Shebaal Peh? And the other day, we could just tell them, and we could tell them the maskana, the mils, and the final conclusions that emerge from the scope of Torah Shabbat. What's the idea? Explains the Maral. We know from the Midrash Tanchuma and Parshas Noach and numerous other Midrash Chazal that the Ikra Melus is Derech Torah Shabbat. Usually, a person, you can read the Chumash, and you can be half asleep, you can read the words, you can read Torah Shabbat Sav. But to go out and really be kona Torah Shabbat, you have to be Omel, you have to be Miyageya. You have to break your head over it. It's the same way that I remember a certain Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael. He once stopped a girl in the street. The girl was wearing a sweatshirt. I'm wearing a sweatshirt from an open-minded seminary in Eretz Yisrael, where the girls are learning Gemara in depth. So he saw this girl with a sweatshirt and showed on the sweatshirt. They had the picture in the back, a girl with an open Gemara. And it was something like, I'm not looking for a boy right now. I'm looking for a charusa. Something like, I'm not looking for a boy. I'm looking for a charusa. So he said, it piqued my curiosity. I stopped the girl in the street and I said, so tell me, you're learning Gemara. Yeah, I'm learning Gemara. And how do you enjoy it? It's great. It's the most exciting limud. It's really, how does it compare? Yeah, Tanakh is great. Allah is great. But Gemara is the most exciting thing in the world. It's so amazing. It's so entertaining. He says, well, then, I don't know, maybe you're really not learning Gemara. Because you ask any guy in yeshiva in 6th grade, in 7th grade, in 8th grade, you ask any guy in Eretz Yisrael when he's learning Gemara, right? At the beginning, how it's, that's the toughest part of learning. I just had a conversation with another guy last week. Rebbe, I don't know, I don't want to go to this yeshiva. They learn too much Gemara, it's too hard for me. I don't get a geshmak. You ask a guy in yeshiva, Gemara's the hardest thing, it requires the most amelus. He says the only time you really appreciate it is after you're learning, and after you chazer, and after you kone, when you really acquire it, then you appreciate its godless. It takes the most work out of anything. We see a cliff in Rama. He says, Ella, what? He says, he told this girl, he says, if you're enjoying it so much, it must be she's not really teaching you Gemara. Because you shouldn't be enjoying it. It takes time and effort, and it's the amelus, it's the agia. And that's what ultimately brings out the geshmak. That's the famous Kutzker Rebbe, Megillah Davovin Beis, Yagati Mitzasi Tamen. What do you mean Yagati Mitzasi Tamen? Sometimes people don't find it. Tarot says the agia itself is the mitziah, just the working and the toil, the diligence. That itself is the Metziah. The same way someone once came to the Kutzker Rebbe, and he says, Rebbe, I've been learning Gemara all these years, and I'm still not a Lamdin. He says, show me in the Torah where there's a mitzvah that you have to be a Lamdin. Where does it say you have to be a Lamdin? It says, what? It says, Yamelim Torah. What Hashem decides the upshot of your Amelis is going to be, so leave that up to Ribbono Shalom. You don't have to be the biggest Lamdin. You have to go in and learn, and you have to be an Omel, and you have to schwitz. You have to sweat over the Gemara, and that's what you have to do. You have to mamish work, and you have to make it a part of you, and that takes tremendous, tremendous effort. That's the and that's what it means, mamash, to walk, because walking involves a tircha. Therefore, Zok the Maral, in his first explanation, based on the fact that every act of walking is a Torah, is an amel, kaktu amelim v'yegeim. So Amela the Maral adds in his drusha la Torah, the reason why women are not obligated in Torah Shavapeh is because Torah Shavapeh is to break us down. Like Rav Chaim said, Adam la'omo yulad, the child already has kol ha-Torah kula. He already was given kol ha-Torah kula as a gift. What's the only reason he had to come out into the world? Because he needed the amelus. So this does get us into the discussion somebody asked of Chaim Kanevsky once. Are women also getting kol ha-Torah kula in the womb of their mothers? So Veli Yomon asked of Chaim. Chaim said, why not? Well, who says? Who says that they can? Mestama. Now again, even though we erroneously assume that this little pinch over here is the pinch that the Malach gave us, Mechitesir, Chaim said that's folk legend. He says there's no Chazal. All the Gemara says is Bob Malach v'satro piv. And he gives you a little clap. The Mechitesir, that this little indentation. Because part of the question was, well, women also have it. It must be that women also learn Kotzer Kula and then forgot about it. He says, what about Goyim? Goyim also have it. So Goyim, you could say low plug. Goyim, you could say, well, if the Jews came out with the little pinch and the Goyim came out without the pinch, somebody will say, Mastik Yosef Yeshu. So it looks like they're two gods. The same way the Yalkut Sofer writes in Parshas Lech Lecha, Bris Mila Zachosha Mazach. But if all the Jews came out with the Bris Mila and the Goyim came out without the Bris Mila, people are going to say, there are two gods. There's one God making the Jews and one God making the Goyim. She could say low plug. So maybe you could say low plug in the woman. Rachaim says, why not? Why shouldn't the woman get called Torah Kula? Let woman get to, again, this isn't their Melus. A modern woman could get called Torah Kula in the stomach. They are being taught called Torah Kula. Okay, so men have it, women have it, we put that to rest. Women have it, they all get kol Torah Kula. And there's a famous story of the Chazon Ish. There was a boy born in Bnei Brak back in the early 1900s, supposedly, and he came out, and once he learned how to speak, he was rattling off kol Torah Kula. And they brought him to the Chazon Ish, and they say the Chazon Ish was bov v'satro al piv, because this child won't grow up normal, he's not going to have friends, v'chula, you know, be in first grade, he'll already be in the best yeshiva in the world, he already knows kol Torah Kula. So they say the Chazon Ish gave him the little pinch, or bov v'satro al piv, and he made him forget his learning. Right? You have to be normal. So the Maral says, A melus is given to us so that we could get back into Olam Haba. Olam Haba is what is the world of tzaddikim yoshvim v'atroseim v'rosheim v'nenemis v'ashchino. It's a world of we get our schar and we get to relax. It's a sense of relaxation. He says men by nature, their inherent teva, they're aggressive, they're on the move, they're on the go, they want to build, they want to do. Men are going and building. Right? That's a man, a holich. They're leaving the house, they're growing, they're building, they're buying, they want to produce. So he says men need to break down that aggressive tendency to make their nature more in tune with the ambiance and the avirah, what Olam Haba is all about. So one of the reasons they have to learn Torah Shopeh is to break down that aggressive nature, those aggressive tendencies. Mashiach women are much more benoach, are much more benachas. So Maral says that's one of the reasons they don't need the amelus and yegia, the schwitzing over a gemara, to break down their nature, to make them in tune with Olam Haba, because they're already in tune with Olam Haba. The same way Rav Hirsch writes in his famous shtickl, Parshas Emor, Perachav Gimel, Pasuk Mem Gimel, that women don't need all the mitzvahs asay, shazo and grama, because they're automatically in tune with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. They're already connected with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. They don't need as many mitzvahs as men do to connect. They're always instantly connected because their nature is one of Olam Haba, is one of Nochius, is one of Adinus, Arevus. Men, they don't have that by nature. They have to break down their Teva, and that's done. One main way is done Ayidei Amelus B'Torah. So either way, that's Mahalach number one in the Maral. Halicha, walking on the path, involved Tirchas and Amelus, and Machuk Zaytalech Hashem says, I want you to walk with it. That means I want the Tircha, I want the Amelus in Torah. But then he says, Yesh Lefarish Gamkein as follows. And the Pashtus, what is Halicha? Halicha means I go walking because I'm going from point A to point B. That means I'm going somewhere. I'm going somewhere where I either haven't been before or to explore something new, to learn something new. I'm going someplace. Why am I leaving where I am now? Because I want something more. So I'm going from point A to point B. That's the parallel, the Hagbalah, to the holding of Amelus B'Torah. Why Amelus? I already learned it. What is Amelus? I learned something once, I'm going to go back over it again. I'm going to delve even deeper. Why? You already learned it. So you know what it says. Why am I going deeper? Because I want to get a new freshness, a novelty, a new novel idea, a novel concept. I want to go deeper, as deep as I can. That's the idea of Amelus B'Torah. Lahamik B'Tomid, Yosem Imasha Hemik B'Kodeh. I want to delve as deeply as I can. The same way that in the Sefer Toldos Adam, the Esra Zamul of Eloshin, one of the main disciples of the Vilna Gaon, they heard him chazering hundreds of times a certain Mishnah. So the Rabbeir in Voloshin at the time, he asked Rav Zalmala, he says, I understand the Gemara says in Chagiga, Deftesim, and Beis, that you're already in Eved Elokim once you chazer, once you review 101 times. Once you chazer 101, then you already did your job. Why go beyond 101? Why keep chazering 200, 300 times? He says, that which the Gemara says 101 is only to remember something. To remember something, you got to chazer 101 times. But if you love it and you're really attached to it, you want to be Amma, you want to be Megea, he says, I love it so much. I want to chazer 2, 3, 4, 500 times because I love it so much. Elawat, I can't just stay on one thing my whole life. I have to keep going. But if you really love it, you'll be Amma. What is Amma? You're going to keep going ever deeper and you're going to keep wanting to uncover and unearth and explore new ideas and new concepts that you've never gotten before. And thus you ask most people when they chazer, very often as you keep chazering, new ideas, new insights, new clarities come into your mind in the middle of the learning. That's the idea that there's always a freshness, there's always a newness to that Amelus B'Torah. He says, Zenikra Halicha B'Torah. That's what it means to walk in the Torah. You're always walking. What's walking? I'm going new places. That's Gemar Chagiga. Dav Gimel Amin Aleph. Any coincidence? Rav Hunder writes in his Pachad Yitzchak and Shavuos, he has a beautiful piece. Pachad Yitzchak and Shavuos, a Maimer Yud Zayin, where he talks about Ein Beis Medrash B'li Chiddush. Ein Beis Medrash B'li Chiddush is the idea that there's always newness. There's always a sense of novelty when it comes to the Torah. There's always a new Chiddush. Where is that Gemara? The Gemara is in Maseches Chagiga, Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, right in the midst of the sugya of Aliyah L'Regel. It's very good. Aliyah L'Regel. If we work with the klal, the principle of Rav Tzadok, that every Agadah finds its place in a Gemara for a specific reason, it's very good. Why is the concept of Ein Beis Medrash B'li Chiddush sandwiched in the sugya of Aliyah L'Regel? It's very good. A whole lineage of Aliyah L'Regel is what is the koch raglaim? Is the koch halicha? Is the koch of moving? I move with my raglaim. What's Ein Beis Medrash B'li Chiddush? I'm always going. I'm always a holich. I'm makom l'makom. I'm always exploring new places. I'm always venturing out. I always want to travel the world. I want to travel the Yamatamid. I want to see. I want to explore new and new things. I'm sure that would be a mahalach and Ein Beis Medrash B'li Chiddush, specifically in the context of Chagiga, the sugya of Aliyah L'Regel. That's the lineage of Alicha. So Maral says that's two mahalchim. How Chazal knew to deduce, to infer, that Teilichu is a reference to Amelus B'Torah. Number one, Halicha B'Derech involves a Tirchan and Amelus. And number two, Halicha by definition means you're going from one place to another, you're exploring, seeing something new. You're going back over it again to uncover, to unearth some new chiddush, some new tam, new taste to it. That's the idea of B'chukas HaTeilichu. I said, then why is Teilichu associated with the Chukim? And why is Tishmeru associated with the mitzvahs? Continues the Maral. We know that a mishpat, eila mishpatim, are things that I can readily understand. I can make sense out of them. Kibbut of aim, lo signov shichas domim, etc. What's a chok? Paraduma, shanes, basmacholot, things that are beyond my comprehension. I can only grasp a little bit. Like Rashi says in the beginning of Parshas Chukas, there's certain ideas of the paraduma you can understand. With Salavachik and Reflections of the Rav in the second volume has a whole elaboration that not only there are many concepts of paraduma that indeed I can understand, but I can never fully plumb the depths and intricacies and all the myriad ideas ensconced within the mitzvah paraduma. That's what it means, a chok. So what do I do? When you open up the sugya paraduma, or shani's abasav cholov, so you don't know anything that's going on. Ella what? Because you don't know so much, you have to keep plumbing the depths. You have to go deeper and deeper. So when you hear about shani's wool and linen, so then we have Menoshe Chazal, the first machlokes came in Ayidei Kayin Hevel. Kayin bought from Pishton flax linen, and Hevel bought from the sheep, bought from wool. Wool and linen, first machlokes came into the world by the mixture of Kayin and Hevel, mixture of wool and linen. And we have other Chazals, Tfilos Aron Tehor. I mentioned once that a friend of mine was sitting on an airplane, and he was sitting next to an aeronautics engineer, somebody who was involved in designing airplanes. So he asked him, my friend asked him, he says, you know, I'm always puzzled, how is it that you have these loud engines and we could sit by the window and we could be a few feet away from these loud roaring engines and you don't hear it? You know, what insulation, what are they putting in the walls that can block it out? We know it can reach decibels, the Concorde, 100, all these, you're standing outside an airplane, inside the airplane, you barely hear the roar of the engine. What's pshat? He says they came up with a mixture of wool and linen. There's a wool and linen mixture that they use for insulation that they discovered is the best combination to block out the sound as best possible. He says, now he understands. If you're wearing a wool and linen suit, it blocks out the kol ha'tefila. Hashem doesn't hear the kol ha'tefila. That was the insight my friend had on the airplane. You never know who you get to sit next to. So many different concepts in a wool and linen, right? But in the end of the day, do we really know what's going on? No, we got to learn it more. We got to see the Midrashim and the Chazals. You always have to keep learning. A mishpat. What's a mishpat? Big deal. Mishpat is you can't kill anyone. How difficult is that? Can't kill. You can't steal. That's a mishpat. I don't need to do a melus by a mishpat as much as I need to do a melus by a chok. And that's why the Indian of halicha, when do you have to shvitz? When do you walk? When do you wear yourself down? You wear yourself down when you get into the sugya paraduma and you get into shatnis and basav cholov. That's when you have to shvitz. That's when there's a torach bilimudam yosu. Lekach kosav eitzel achukam. I have halicha that indicates the Indian of the tircha. But if you have the mitzvahs that are not chukim, they're mishpatim, they don't involve as much of a tircha, as much of an amelus, and that's when Maral has a piece later on in the parasha, where he talks about the contrast, when the pasuk is going to go in and tell me that there's an idea of not listening to the chukim, and that means what? I'm not going to be amel b'torah. That which I'm not going to be amel b'torah, liyos amelim b'torah, is a pasuk later on, a chavav yedalit, im lo tishmuli liyos amelim b'torah. What's the whole idea of shemiya? Torah shvapeh? Whole idea of shemiya is what? How do you communicate Torah shvapeh? Shemiya, the Rebbe says it over to the Talmud, and the Talmud hears it. That's why all over Bavli, what do we find? Tashma. That's Torah shvapeh. I have to hear it. I have to listen to it from somebody else. That's one Indian of the shemiya. That's Torah shvapeh. So Torah Shopeh requires that Amelus, requires that Yegiyah, and that goes more with the Chukim, and that's why we begin in Mechukos HaTeilichu. So let's now talk about Mechukos HaTeilichu as a Hagdoma to Matan Torah. It's obviously not coincidental that the first lesson of Mechukos HaTeilichu is the lesson of Amelus B'Torah. We pointed out in the past, the Torah writes in Archaim, the Parshas Bamidbar almost always directly precede Shavuos. Okay, the leap year is, of course, somewhat different, but typically Bamidbar is the parsha right before. And we've spoken out to the idea that the number of Sfarim pick up on, that parsha Bamidbar is all about bringing the Jewish people together. It's about a Sfira, counting the Jewish people, uniting the Jewish people. We pointed out Yehuda Shaviv's beautiful insight in the Sefer Bein Haftorah, the parsha. If you look at the end of the 10th volume of Encyclopedia Talmudis, you find a listing of all the different Haftorahs that we lay in the whole year long. And every week, Ashkenazim, Sfardim, Taimanim, Edus, HaMizrach, the Jews can never agree on a given Haftorah. And even if we agree on the same selection from Nevi'im, we always have Kan Maschilim Ashkenazim. Anyone who's paying attention to the Art School Stone Chumash this past week, Kan Mesaimim Chabad, this is where Balvachers end, and this is where the Sfardim begin, and this is where Edus Mizrach, and now our Sfardim, they talk about Ashkenazim and Sfardim and Lubavitch, but if you look at the end of the 10th volume of Tekvit Talmudis, you should look at all the different Minhagim out there, Taimanim, Edus HaMizrach. We can never, the whole year, ever agree on the same Haftorah. We can never start and end at the same point. Believe it or not, we can once and only once. And what is that? The week of Parshas Bamidbar. Parshas Bamidbar is taken from Sefer Hosea. And how does it begin? You'll do a Sfira, count the Jewish people, unite them. And the second pasuk is, take the Bnei Yisrael, take the Bnei Yehuda, Bnei Ephraim, and bring them together, bring the Jewish people together. Right, so Yehuda Shaviv, the whole year long, we can never agree on the same Haftorah, except for one time and only one time, the week before Shavuos. We take the same Haftorah, the same beginning point, the same ending point, and specifically Haftorah that details the inyan of bringing the Jewish people together. That's the way we have to go into Shavuos. So the last lesson that you need to go into Matan Torah is what? Is an echo of the much earlier, Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neged Ahar, Rashi and Parshas Yisrael, Yotes Beis, Ke'ishachad, the famous Mechilta Kishach HaBalevachar. That's the precursor, the harbinger of the Matan Torah. So you need Achdus. That's Bamidbar. That's the Sfira. Count the Jewish people. Bring everybody together under one umbrella. That's the Sfira. That's Bamidbar. Everyone does the same Haftorah. We understand Bamidbar Sinai, Rabbeinu Ephraim says, is Gematria 376, Gematria Shalom. That's Bamidbar Sinai. Everybody comes together Bamidbar Sinai. Kishach HaBalevachar. What's the last lesson before that? That's Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. That's the harbinger. I need Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. But the last lesson that directly precedes that is B'chuk Kosai. What's B'chuk Kosai? The last parsha in Sefer Vayikra. It's Amele Metorah. If you want to get a Tahar Sinai, you need to do what? You need to shvitz. And that's the Maral. You need to go walking in a desert, in a hot desert. You need to shvitz. You need to be machni yourself. You need to work on yourself. You need to amel in the tircha until you have to do what? You have to be ready for Amele Metorah. So what did we do? What did we do? We didn't sit there learning. We sat there listening. But what happened, Lamaisa? We have an interesting chazal. The Gemara says Hashem started to speak, and b'chol dibor v'dibor sheyatzim p'pi HaKadosh Baruch Hu nesmalei kol olam kulo b'samim. Famous Gemara Masechta Shabbos, the bottom of Pechesim at base. God starts to speak when He says Anochi, the whole world filled up with beautiful smelling spices. And then you're ready for Dibur number two. Ready for Dibur number two? Baruch Tzafonis, a northern wind came along, it blew it away. And now for Dibur number two, Le'yilicha, a whole new smell came and filled up the entire world. You're ready for number three? The same thing occurred until you went through all ten. Asks Rav Hudner and Pachad Yitzchak and Shavuos HaMayim Tes. Everything that took place that's discussed in the Agadic narratives regarding Matan Torah is not just Stam. Oh, by the way, here's a nice phenomenon, a nice fact that's transpired by Matan Torah. It's all a lesson to teach us our Gisha, our approach to Torah study. So if the Chazal are telling us that the whole world filled up with spices, filled up with a beautiful smelling fragrance, ask Sofudra, so why couldn't the world fill up with one tenth by Anochi, another tenth by Loyachet, to show me how beautiful the Torah is. It was merely to highlight how beautiful the Torah is, then each Dibur is filling up the world with more and more spices until you get to number 10. Number 10, oh, the upshot is the whole world filled up with this great smelling perfume. No, Rafuner says, the idea is that when you heard Anochi, there was nothing else in the world going on. Hashem is teaching us the Yisod of Amelus and Yigia B'Torah. Real Amelus is that you're so engrossed, you're so shaku in your learning, there's nothing else in the world going on at the time. And we mentioned the famous story, somebody asked Rav Yoshev, what do you do if you're in the middle of learning and you hear thunder? Do you stop and interrupt to make the bracha? So Yoshev says, I don't understand. How is it Shai Chimetzius if you're in the middle of learning?
How can you ever hear the thunder to stop and make the bracha? All right, that's a Rav Yosher's Amir. He didn't understand the kasha. And the Gro used to tell us, Taminim, if you heard the thunder in the middle of learning, then you weren't really learning Ba'amelis. You weren't really learning with enough of an Amelis. So the Gro, they say at the beginning of his learning, he used to learn locked in his room during the daytime. He used to learn with the light of a candle, and he used to keep the shutters completely shut. Then, as he grew to become the Vilna Gaon, he used to open them until he could learn his window of his clothes was right out overseeing a busy street. He could keep the window wide open, he wouldn't hear a word. He was totally shook when he was learning. Once Chaim Voloshin came to visit his Rebbe, the Gro, and the Gro was walking back and forth in the middle of his learning. Because sometimes the greatest amelis comes in the middle of walking. That's part of the Indian of the Tircha. Same idea we mentioned recently on Shabbos by the Pirkei Avashir, Rav Avram Azulai, the Chesed Avram, the grandfather of the Chidah, says, why is it that Mishnah Paragimel, Mishnah Zion tells us in Pirkei Avashir, Holich, someone is holech vishone. He's walking and he's learning and he's mafsek mishnah. So why someone is walking? So one shot the Chesed Avram writes is because sometimes the best learning comes when you're walking. And you walk into yeshiva and you see yeshiva bachim. Sometimes they're walking around. Sometimes when you're walking, it gets you to think and it gets you to be mamik yoser. Rav Urdiman used to do his best learning taking walks. So Chaim Volozhin said one time he came to visit the Gro. And the Gro was walking, pacing back and forth in this small room. So he opened up the door, and he figured it made enough of a noise. And he looked at the Gro. The Gro had his eyes wide open, and he was waiting until the Gro would acknowledge him. And he waited for 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, and the Gro would walk back towards the door with his eyes wide open, and he wouldn't acknowledge him. So he says, maybe he doesn't see me. So he went and walked directly in the path of the Gro. And he stood right where the Gro ended his walk, and he says, maybe now he'll see me. And he's got his eyes open, maybe now he'll see me. And he stood there for 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, and the Gro didn't notice him. He says, I don't know, maybe he's just in his mind is so shakua. So he decided to stand in the path of the Gro. So what happened? The Gro was walking, and he bumped into a Chaim Voloshin. And he just turned around and went right back. Kilu, it didn't even happen. His stories that you hear, Rav Urdiman, you know, would bump at the telephone poles. And on his long walks, he would get so absorbed in his learning. You have stories of Rav Shach, of other Gedolim, that when they had surgery, Rav Ginsburg says a story that he hid once in Rav Shach's room when Rav Shach had to get something removed from his foot. And the doctor came and took a scalpel and told the Rav Shach he wanted to give him a drug that would, an anesthetic that would make it numb. And Rav Shach said, I have to say a shiur soon. Is it going to hurt my, it might distort your intellect. He says, I don't want it. Just says, well, it's going to be incredibly painful. He says, don't worry, I'll think I'm learning. Thing of learning, and he got lost in thought in his sugyo. And he says that Rav Ginsburg says he was in the room, and Rav Shach didn't cry, he didn't yet nothing, not a peep. Why? Because that's it, he got lost in his sugyo. If you're so omel, so the Chesed Avraham says, Holich v'derech v'shone, you see, you're omel, because when you're walking in the path, sometimes that's the best learning in the world. So, what's the idea of the Besamim? Explains Rav Hunder, you're so engrossed in the sugya that there's nothing else in the world going on at the time. That's the lesson. When you're hearing Kavita Savicha, when you're hearing Zachar Sim Shamas the Kacho, you have to be so absorbed, just like when you spices. When a person smells spices, and you get so absorbed in it that a mamashah becomes with you. If you go into a pizza shop, there are some pizza shops, the smell permeates the pizza shop that you can walk out, and what happens? You don't smell the pizza anymore. You don't taste the pizza anymore. You already finished it. You digested it. But what? But the smell sometimes stays with you. And that's what happens. You walk into a perfume shop and you can walk around smelling like perfume the rest of the day. Person can put on perfume, cologne, etc. And it stays with you longer than anything else. When everything else wears off, the smell stays with you the longest. The idea Rav Hunder says is that the whole world, your mama smell like the spices. That's the idea. The Gemara says in Shabbos, Daf Gimel Amud Beis, Kishakai Rebbe behind Masechta, Lotus Shali be Masechta, Achrita Domalava Date. When Rabbi Danasi is learning one Masechta, don't ask him a question on the Masechta. Maybe he doesn't know the answer. What do you mean he doesn't know the answer? He's the one who gave us Kol Terkula. He's the one who wrote down the whole Mishnaic text, the whole Mishnaic. He knows everything. Explain the Rishonim. He was so shakua in the, if he's learning Maseches Ksuvis, then he's eating, sleeping, living, and breathing Maseches Ksuvis, and there's nothing else in the world going on at the time. And that's the idea. Even Rabbi Danasi, he was so absorbed that there was nothing else in the world going on. That was the Vilna Gaon in his learning. And that's the idea of Nesmale Kol Kula B'Samim B'Davka. You can hear a sound, but it doesn't get into you. It doesn't absorb you. Smell goes into the nostrils, and the smell stays with you. And the smell, mamish, has an everlasting effect, at least for a very long time. You can't get it, but you are so engrossed in it. That's why Hashem filled up the whole robe of spices to let you know that when you're hearing one of the dibros, be so shakua, listen to it, and fully absorb, wrap yourself. himself in it. That's the idea of Rav Mordechai Miller in his Yom Tov Shiurim by Shavuos, when Rashi in Parshas Yisro, Perchof, Pasuk Tezvav, Rashi brings another fascinating Mechilta. Mechilta says that everybody who had any ailment, any illness, any deficiency, everybody was miraculously healed. Everybody who was blind, deaf, every mute, everyone was able to speak, was able to see, was able to hear. Even a lame person was now able to walk. Why? I can understand you want to see what's going on, you want to hear what's going on. But now, if you didn't have the ability to smell, you could smell it. If you had the ability to stand, what's that all about? The idea is, Hashem's telling us, Amelis B'Torah means put all of you into it. I want all of you into it. That means all of your kochos, all of your senses. I want your ability to touch, to feel, to stand, to see, to taste, to hear. I want you to be 100% perfectly healthy. I want you to go ahead and I want you to absorb this experience of the grand revelation at Sinai with all of you, with all of your senses, with all of your being. I want you to be shakul lagamri. Ad kadei kach, that what? That the whole world fills up with an aroma, filled up with spices. Torah is going to enter you like that spice. It's going to be a fragrance. It's going to be all in your insides. You're going to live it and you're going to breathe it. Mela, let's ask, and with this we'll close, the obvious question. We pointed out the Torah in Hilchos Rosh Chodesh, Taf Yud Zayin, many a time, the Gron, Ader, Sliyo, Parshas Bullock, the three Ovis correspond to the three Regalim. Avram Avinu to Pesach, Yitzhak to Shavuos, and Yaakov to Sukkos. And we have the Gro, the Maral, so many Sfarim that tell us Avram Avinu is the Yaman HaChesed, and Yitzhak is the Yaman HaAvodah, and Yaakov is the Yaman HaTorah. So isn't Shavuos all about the Torah? Yaakov should be the Torah. And the Maral himself tells us in Perek Yates, Yaakov is the Masim and Otzum. So what's this idea that it's Davka Yitzchak who is Shavuos? What's going on here? So one idea perhaps could be as follows. We see that by Matan Torah, Nismale Kulam Kulo Besam, the whole world filled up with spices. The whole idea of Amelus is what? Is I give myself Kokulo all over to my learning. All that matters to me right now is this learning. And how do Chazal express in the Gemara Sanhedrin? A person is only Kohen Torah when what? When Misha Memis Atzmola. You have to kill yourself over it. Explains the Maral. What does that mean? Torah is completely sichli. It's completely ruchnius. The more you have a contradiction between that which is kulo ruchni and sichli with the physical, materialistic, mundane sad hafizi in you, then the less ability, the less opportunity you have to allow the Torah to sink in. The more you're mavato, the more you shut down and destroy the chelak agashmi, the more you allow the Torah to go in and penetrate. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu became an Ishalokim. He shut down his tzad agashmi. The Mela, he became Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Torah was able to go and sink in the gamri to Moshe Rabbeinu. So who is Kona? Who acquires the Torah? Davka, someone Misha Memis Atzmola. What does it mean? It means you kill yourself on it. It means you kill yourself. You shut down the tzad agashmi. Mesiris nefesh for the Torah. Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Tesman Aleph Kedusha Lamed Beis Lamed Beis. Someone who gives himself over to the Torah becomes your Torah. The more you give up for the Torah, the more the Torah gives up for you. The more the Torah is going to become a part of you. Who represented that? The one who was a carbon, the one who represented Mesiris Nefesh. Who was a carbon? Yitzhak Avinu was a carbon. A carbon is a mincha. A mincha is an offering. He offered not just something that exists outside of him, he offered himself. That's what Maral says in Gwaya later on in the parasha. The pasuk is going to tell us in Mechukosai, Vizachati Yisbisi Yaakov. So what do we have? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Zachati Yisbisi Yaakov, Yahweh Yisbisi Yitzchak, Yahweh Yisbisi Avram Eskar. Eskar is by what? Is by Avram and is by Yaakov. Why does it not mentioned Zechira by Yitzchak? Lama lo nemra Zechira by Yitzchak? Rashi says, Ela aforo she Yitzchak nira lefanai tzabur umunach al mezbeach. Yitzchak's ashes are always right in front of me. You don't need to remember something that you can never forget. If it's in front of your eyes 24/7, 365, you don't have to remember it. It's like the Rameyer Simcha used to say about the rugged shover. He says, "Why does everyone say about the rugged shover, Yosef Rosen, then he has a great memory?" Rameyer Simcha said about himself that he has a great memory because he's not holding a kol Torah kula at every moment in time. But if the rugged shover always sees the whole Torah in front of him at every second of the day, he's always holding a kol Torah kula. He doesn't need to remember anything because he's always seeing the whole Torah. So Yitzchak Avinu's ashes are always in front of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Writes the Maral, because Yitzchak was a carbon, was a kedas Yitzchak, and he gave himself all over in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yitzchak masar nafsho lemidas adin lios nishchat v'nisraf hakedushas Hashem. Yitzchak was mesiris nefesh, a kedas Yitzchak. He gave himself all over to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem, I am all yours. Ad kedei kach, his ashes are right there by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He doesn't need to remember it. That's Yitzchak Avinu's Maila. You know what Matan Torah is all about? Shavuos is one day. Did we learn Kol Torah Kula in one day? No, it's a process. Toshua Peh, we had many days where we sat the learning. We didn't even get the Torah Shavuos time. It's Zman Kabbalah's Torah saying, it's Zman Matan Torah saying, Atzman, Kabbalah's Torah, Seinu. We didn't even get it. So what's it all about? It's not about learning the Torah and mastering the Torah. It's about what? Understanding what Amelis and Yegiyah is all about. The same way we need Parshas Bechukos Kosai to precede Shavuos. Bab Midbar is the last Parsha before Shavuos in a typical year. That's Kesha Chabalei Bechar. But the last lesson, vis-a-vis our approach to Torah, has to be what? You have to be Amel, you have to sacrifice, you have to be Meimis Atzmo Le. Who's the only one of the Ovis who is Mamish Meimis Atzmo, who gave himself over Ligamri to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That was Yitzchak Avinu, as Afor Tzavra Agam Himesbech. Meila, what do we find with this? We'll close. We find a machlokas in Midrashim. What happened to Yitzchak between the age of 37 and 40? After Kedis Yitzchak, where did he disappear for 3 years? 3 years, all of a sudden, then, at the age of 40, it's time to marry off Yitzchak. Where did he go for 3 years? Tagi Yomnes of Nazio, the Menor Shagodol. You know where he went? In Megal Amukus, he went to Gan Eden. Because he had some wounds, you have to understand what it means, based on Tzuna Merosh Chazal, Avram Avinu did inflict some type of wound into Yitzchak, whatever that means, he had to be healed from his wounds, he went to Gan Eden. And the Medrash even says, the Yalkut Shimoni, Yitzchak came out of Gan Eden alive, Eliyahu HaNavi went into Gan Eden alive. But the only one who went into Gan Eden alive when he was still alive in this world is Yitzchak Avinu. And that's why we pointed out many times, Vayerach HaSreach Begadav. Rashi says, by the Brochus of Parshas Toldos, he smelled the Reach of Gan Eden. How does Yitzchak know the smell of Gan Eden? Because he was there. And he smelled what Gan Eden smelled like. So Vayerach HaSreach Nichnas Imo with Yaakov, the Reach of Gan Eden. Yaakov didn't know that, but Yitzchak knew this is the smell of Gan Eden because I was there. I know the smell of Gan Eden. So he went for 3 years to Gan Eden. That's the idea of Vayerach HaSreach Begadav. That's why Reb Pinchas Friedman writes in a beautiful Maimon Shvilei Pinchas, he brings down the Megal Amukos, and he says that now we can understand why the Pasuk tells us in the beginning of Parshas Chayisara, Perchav Dalid, Avraham Zokin Baba Yama Vashem Berachas Avraham Makol. Rashi says Makol is Gematria Ben 52. Me'achas Hayelo Ben Hayitzarch Lasi Isha. Now that Avraham Avinu had a son, he has to marry. Asked Avi, what do you mean now that he had a son? He's 40 years old already. Why'd you wait until he was 40? He had a son for all these years. Why not marry? What do you mean now he had a son? Teretz is Yitzchak Avinu went to Gan Eden for 3 years. He died. He left this world. Afaru Tzabra Gamizbech. He now came in as a new Ben. That's why the Archaim Akonis says in three times brings down the Zohar that he had the neshama in a cave beforehand. Now was Nizbatil. He killed that neshama. He came out now with the neshama of a Zohar. He came out as a Ben, as a new Bria Chadosh, and now it's time to get him married. But either way, he's a new Ben. There was a new rebirth that was experienced by Yitzchak. Interesting. What is Yitzchak? Yitzchak is the only one in his lifetime who was killed, went into Gan Eden, and came out alive, which is what? Tchias HaMesim. Any coincidence that the Zohar says in Chelek Aleph and Tikkuni Zohar, Yitzchak is also Yitzchak Ketzchai. He lives in the Zman HaKetz. Shabbos Beit Tessim and Beis, Yitzchak is the one to bring us to the Zman HaKetz. Yitzchak was Nesgalgel as Eliyonovi. Brings us to the Zman HaKetz. Pinchas 208, Yitzchak 208, Pinchas Eliyahu HaNavi, Yitzchak is Ketzchai. He brings us to the Zman HaKetz. Yitzchak is Midas Adin. In the future, we pass and Meshama, we go back to a world of Midas Adin. What is this idea all about? What is going to happen, Las Lava, Tchias HaMesim? Who brings us to a Tkufa of Tchias HaMesim? Who's going to be Machaya the Mesim, writes the Rabbeinu Yonah on the Rif? Eliyonovi is the one who's going to be Machaya Mesim. Eliyonovi is the Gilgal of Yitzchak. Eliyonovi is Machaya Mesim. Tchias HaMesim, what's that? It makes a lot of sense. Who's the only individual who really underwent a mice of Tchias HaMesim? Who's the only one who died, left this world? Again, Avram Avinu, yes, there was a Kivshan Eish, but he never left this world. Yitzchak died, left this world, went to Gan Eden. Avram couldn't marry him off. That's in the Megal Amukos, answers to Kasha. Where was Yitzchak by the funeral of Sarah? Why didn't Avram bring him to the funeral to be maspid his mother? Writes the Megal Amukos, because he couldn't bring him because he wasn't there. Avram Avinu couldn't go into Gan Eden. Writes the Megal Amukos in the beginning of Chayis. Sorry, Yitzchak was still in the 3 years in Gan Eden. Avram Avinu had to wait until he came out. That's where he was, Gan Eden. What is Gan Eden? Gan Eden is you're smelling the fragrances. Like the Bnei Sosro says, we were pogame, Adam and Chav, and all the senses except for the Chush HaReach. The only way to get back into Gan Eden is to go derech through the medium of the Chush HaReach. Yitzchak was the Chush HaReach. What's Yitzchak? The Mizbeach. Yitzchak is carbon. Carbon is Reach Nichoach. Reach Nichoach, a beautiful smelling fragrance. That's Yitzchak, the Ketoris, which stops Minas Adin. Ketoris is the beautiful smelling fragrance. Yitzchak is Minas Adin. That's Carbonus. He was a carbon. He was a min. Carbon is Rech Nichoach Lafanai. It's a smelling fragrance. Yitzchak, who is in touch with the Mizbeach. He is the one who could go back into Gan Eden, and that's where he was for those 3 years. But what's fascinating is, all the Midrashim say, he didn't go to Gan Eden. Where did he go? We have many Midrashim that say he went to learn Yeshiva Shem and Efer. So what's going on? There's a big difference. Do you get to go to Gan Eden, and do you get to learn with the Kodesh Baruch Hu in Gan Eden and smell the fragrance of being Matayim with Hashem in Gan Eden? Or you go to your local Yeshiva, you know, for 3 years, Yeshiva Shem and Efer, and it's a big machlokas. Turns out what it's not such a big machlokas. What was the whole idea? It's the same Tchias HaMesim. Ad the Memes Atzmo Aleh. Yeshiva Shem and Efer was what? Killing yourself over the Torah. They are malice in the Torah, right? The Ramban, the Baal Torah was Torah Shema Peh. They were learning Torah Shema Peh. It's not this different thing. It's the Gan Eden Milamata. There's the Gan Eden Milamalo, the Mesifta Durakia, and there's the Gan Eden Milamata where you could get to that same Devekus, where you could smell the same fragrance. That's the same Yitzchak. It's what? Two ways. There's Gan Eden above, and there's Gan Eden down below where you could smell, you could be so amal and yagei and Torah that you could be there for those 3 years. And you know what? In the end of the day, it's a zelbazach. It's mamash the same thing. Whether you're schwitzing over the Torah Shabbat down here and you're smelling like the Torah and you're living it and eating it, sleeping, breathing it, or whether you're in the world of Hashem is Mesifted Raki and Gan Eden Shamayla, in the end of the day, it's still more or less the same thing. Who's the one to taste that? Yitzhak Avinu. If Torah Shabbat is only acquired by being Memes Atzmo Lev, then only the individual who gave over himself, who was Memes Atzmolah Kipshuto, is the one to bring that Nakuda into the world. Mela, what's Matan Torah? Matan Torah is what? Tchias HaMesim. What happened? Hashem started telling us the Torah, and we were so absorbed and we were so taken aback. All of our senses were involved. What do we know about Matan Torah? We died. We died, and Hashem brought us back to life. What was that? Tchias HaMesim. Who is Tchias HaMesim? Then Yitzchak Avinu. That is Matan Torah. That's Amelis. That's Egiya. That's dying over the Torah. That's what Yitzchak Avinu was about. That's what he brought into the world. Mela, it's Davka Yitzchak who Shavuos. That's what Matan Torah, that's what Shavuos, that's what Nismalei Kolam Kulo B'Somim is all about. That's Yitzchak, that is Ketz Chai, that's the Zman HaKetz, that's the Amelus, that's where we go into Matan Torah, that's what we have to work on this week, and then, Met Hashem, we get to Shavuos, we worked on the Amelus and the Egiya, then we're ready to do what? To start schwitzing, and make sure we get together as an Am, and being Mavatal ourselves, being Mamis, giving up ourselves, Mitzad the Midos, giving up ourselves to Yenim, to our Chaverim, to unite as Isha Chabalevachad, and then we're ready for the Shavuos, for the Matan Torah. That is Yitzchak Avinu is the one who got his Bismillah. Day number 8, Lamala Menateva, Shavuos, corresponding to Yitzchak, is going to come in the beginning of week number 8, corresponding to Lamala Menateva. We were dead, we were brought back to life, Lamala Menateva. That's Yitzchak's Nekuda. That's the Reach, the smell of the Torah. That's what Emet Hashem we should be Zocha to acquire as we go walking in the path of the Torah.